We do, and where it stands is there's going to be a public hearing because there was some thought that we would pass something during a special session. And then the consensus was, well, really we want the public to have the opportunity to fully weigh in on the proposal, which is aimed at addressing climate change by reducing emissions in cars and joining a group of states like California to try to lower our emissions for the future.
So this was part of a conversation with our partners over at News 8. Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz over the weekend sitting down with Dennis House on This Week in Connecticut. And we learned that there is, in fact, a public hearing that is happening today. And the state would love to hear from you for you to voice your opinions on electric vehicles in Connecticut. And we know this is going to be happening in front of the Transportation Committee. And you can get more of the details at cga.ct.gov. But we want to first talk about electric vehicles and some of the concerns and also some of the reasons why lawmakers are kind of torn on this one here in Connecticut. So joining us is Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewicz. Lieutenant Governor, welcome back to WICC and thank you for your time.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this has been probably the biggest topic that I can tell you has been a huge focus for WICC and our listeners. So we're really glad to have you on the show today. And forgive me, my voice keeps dropping out throughout the morning. So I appreciate your patience. I don't know. It's just being annoying. I appreciate you.
No. Yeah. Well, you look, powerful women have a lot to say, right? So.
I love that. All right. I like that, Lieutenant Governor. Thank you so much. So we're talking about a public hearing today and really reiterate for us, people are getting the opportunity to really just talk about either their support or their concerns around EVs, correct?
That's right. That's right. And people should know that what is before the committee and what people can testify on no longer includes the 2035 mandate requirement, and it no longer includes joining the other states like California and some of the states around us that have adopted the California standard. So I think it addresses already a lot of the concerns that people have expressed. But I do want to say, This is a problem that's not going to go away because the American Lung Association produced their annual air quality report, and it listed Hartford as one of the nation's 25 most ozone polluted cities. And the report also said that Fairfield, Middlesex, New Haven, and New London counties had failing grades for their ozone levels. So this is the problem that we have to address. And I think people were in our state and around the country, right, because President Biden is going through the same issue right now at the federal level. People were concerned that we don't have the electric vehicle charging station infrastructure up and running, or we won't have it in place by 2035, which isn't in the bill anymore. So that's really the conversation. How can we build up our infrastructure of EV charging stations?
So, Lieutenant Governor, why are Senate Republicans then saying that even though you're saying that's not in this bill, House Bill 5485, mm-hmm. why are they saying then that really this is the creation of a council that is trying to drum up as much support as possible, get through this election cycle of 2024, represent this at the next legislative session so that they can, in fact, pass it as a mandate?
I don't know why they're saying that, because there are no bans. There are no mandates in the bill. Instead, they are looking at the feasibility of putting electric vehicle charging stations in rural areas of the state, especially in eastern Connecticut, because that's been a concern. They're just creating a council to begin building this infrastructure, which I think is really important. And it authorizes the state of Connecticut to issue bonds so that these EV charging stations can be built around the state.
And we have
clearly we don't have the infrastructure. Sorry.
Right. No, you're fine. So, again, we have Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz, who is here, and we're talking about electric vehicles. It continues to be a real hot button topic in Connecticut. And as we have reported consistently, the governor put a pause on passing an EV mandate back in November. We're now during the legislative session. We're learning that lawmakers are taking a step back and are creating a council to really look at electric vehicles and building up the infrastructure, it sounds like, to actually have more electric vehicles on our roadways in the future for Connecticut. There are a lot of unknowns, and I'm curious, Lieutenant Governor, if you agree with this or not. Electric vehicles, I feel, have really become a political issue versus a logistic issue. And what I mean by that is if you are a Republican, you don't like them. And if you're a Democrat, you like them. It's almost become that elementary when I think it's a lot more complex than that. And I say this because I have a lot.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, and I would just say, Melissa, that there's an element of that. But I think one of the reasons that Matt Ritter and the Democrats are not going forward with this is I think there was concern that even within the Democratic caucus that there wasn't support for it, because there was concern, for instance, from people who represent urban areas that poorer communities would be left behind, that there's no EV charging station infrastructure in our cities, and there was concern about that. And I think, you know, the president, unfortunately, is facing the same kind of pushback. I think there's some partisanship associated, but it's also just a concern about where's the infrastructure. And I think there are people in both parties who were concerned, and that's why it's not going forward.
We're talking about electric vehicles, and that continues to be a real hot button topic, not just here in Connecticut, but across the country. But obviously, as Connecticut residents, we're focused on our state, and we have Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz here. And just before the break, Lieutenant Governor, you and I were just talking very briefly about how this shouldn't really be a political party decision. This should really be what logically makes sense for Connecticut and our residents. And so I wanted to get your perspective on this. It seems like across the board, again, regardless of party, everyone is excited for the future of going green. People don't dislike the idea of an electric vehicle. In fact, they feel that this is really great and is one step in the direction of, again, a greener planet, because they're worried about their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren and so on and so forth. It doesn't seem like that's the issue. The issue is, are we trying to do something faster than we're ready to roll out? And the reason I say that is because if you look at just the last few months nationally, let's take January of this year. The rental car company Hertz, one of the biggest ones, announced it would be selling about a third of its electric vehicles in its fleet because they've lost so much value, more than they expected. Many of the top automakers in the last couple of months across the country pulling back on their EV strategies because they are seeing huge losses and trying to focus more on hybrid vehicles. Even EV owners overall are saying that they would not go back and buy another or rent another in the future. And because there's so many unknowns. What does it cost if I want to trade it in? What happens if I want a new battery? What happens if I travel to a state that doesn't have an EV mandate? And other than the highways, they don't have the infrastructure for electric vehicles. And so with so many unknowns, and when you see what's going on with the auto industry, have you at all shifted your thinking, or do you think that the majority has shifted their thinking on an EV mandate?
So it's clear that the Democratic majority in Connecticut isn't there yet. It doesn't think that it's time for a mandate yet. So I think that is what we're facing right now. The good news is that car makers continue to make cars that either are hybrid or that are not hybrid, that get greater gas mileage. And so that's important. You know, that is a step forward, too.
I agree. It's interesting because Governor Lamont had said, I think it's one of his more famous quotes that's been used on a lot of different news platforms for 2024. He says, if you don't like an EV mandate, then get a hybrid. Why isn't there more of a focus on more of a hybrid rollout or incentivizing people to get hybrids?
And actually, incentivizing people is part of this bill. I like that idea a lot. I think we should be giving people incentives to use more fuel-efficient vehicles, and in fact, we have them. We have some incentives already, but clearly we need more. But this is also, I think, as you have alluded to, a national problem. This is where I think we need federal regulation, because one of the reasons we're struggling and why people aren't supporting a strong proposal is because they worry, well, if they drive to another state and the infrastructure isn't there for their hybrid or for their electric vehicle, then what do they do? So I think, Connecticut is trying to lead. But we also need national leadership. And unfortunately, President Biden is facing this same situation right now, where there is reduced support nationally for EV hybrids.
Well, and again, I'm just looking at it as just a news personality, has really nothing to do with politics. But I want to believe one of the biggest reasons he's probably facing backlash is because it's scary. As just a consumer, as just somebody who lives on this planet, it is scary to see that major auto dealers and rental companies and EV owners are going, I don't know. That's scary.
It is. And at the same time, what's scary to me is that in our country, 54% of our population, nearly 120 million people, live in counties that have unhealthy air. And pretty much no matter where you live in our state, that's the case. Part of it, a lot of it is pollution that comes from the Midwest, which is why we need a federal solution, because so many people, both young and older, are facing problems like asthma attacks, worsening COPD, lung cancer, heart attacks. You know, all of these health problems are caused from a healthy air. So it's something that we really have to address as a country and as a state too. So we're doing our best, and we're taking all good suggestions for how we can do that.
I certainly don't disagree with our health standards. I mean, it's horrible. I think about the fact that we still have women in America who can't even get through childbirth without putting their themselves at risk. I mean, the amount of women who die birthing children every year is unbelievable in America. The fact that that's a reality
right. Is
crazy. So I'm with you that the health concerns in America are extraordinary, especially when you talk about how ahead America is compared to other countries. But again, with what we're seeing right now, I just think there's so many unknowns with it that are there other solutions that our state, for example, could be tackling, especially because it doesn't seem like the majority of the country is going to get on board with the infrastructure of electric vehicles, let alone put a mandate in place.
Right. And again, the bill that's before the legislature today doesn't have a mandate that people have to be using EVs or hybrids after 2035. But you mentioned preterm birth and low birth weight babies and problems for new moms. This is a problem, particularly in urban areas with moms of color, because having preterm and low birth weight babies is a result of being exposed to air pollution. And we see that in Fairfield County and Bridgeport and Hartford. So it's something that we absolutely have to address. And it's something that a state can't just do by itself. I think this is something that requires a national solution, because states like ours are struggling to come up with an alternative on our own.
Lieutenant Governor Susan Bicewitz, I want to thank you, especially on such a busy day today, for taking the time to come on WICC and talk about this. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. And I want to remind folks again, if you want to be part of today's public hearing, the state would love to hear from you. Make sure you go online to cga.ct.gov and make sure your testimony is heard ahead of the Transportation Committee today.